Every month, I receive a number of trade magazines that pertain to the work I do. And the December 1999 issue of one of them featured interviews with a number of people in diversified professions. And they were asked to look into the new century before us, particularly the first 10 years, and tell us what they thought about the future. And here are four that I picked out of a number of them. Commenting about work and the family, Dr. John Gray, the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and Children Are From Heaven, commented, communications technology and flexible work times will become more common. They will tend to keep the bonds of the family together. Women's earning power will dramatically increase, thereby creating new challenges for relationships and more time for working parents to spend with their families. Here's something of interest to the students in our congregation. Internet school assignments will be available to students who are going on vacation, so families can take vacations that do not necessarily correspond with regular school vacation times. Concerning travel, Buzz Aldrin, astronaut, moonwalker, fighter pilot, recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and has a doctorate in astronautics from MIT, had this to say. There's a great desire for civilian space travel. The internet and the usual earthly travel experiences will not suffice for some. I think it will be a minimum of at least 12 years before we see any space travel of that nature. And that depends on our abilities to educate the people about space travel. What it means for a person somewhat out of shape to just get on a rocket and go around the Earth. It could be 30 or 40 years before this happens. First, there will be day orbits, with people going up into orbit around the Earth and coming back the same day. And there will be some people who will want to stay in space a while. And so there will be orbiting hotels in space as well. And that could conceivably happen in the next 10 to 15 years. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but I don't think I'm going to be one of those travelers. J.W. Marriott, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of the Marriott Hotels International, commented, "Hotel design will continue to evolve toward maximizing functionability while incorporating several exciting ideas, designs, and decors that are emerging from regions all around the world. And that will contribute to more productive business and leisure experiences." And concerning the weather, now you can take this with a grain of salt. Al Roker, the weathercaster and feature reporter for NBC's Today Show, said, "If the past few seasons are any indications, weather systems and their accompanying storms may become increasingly more severe. Periods of drought, flooding, and severe weather have become more numerous in the past 10 years, and that will probably continue into the next decade." Well, so much for these diverse prognostications that could affect our worldly lives. But what will be the future of our spiritual lives in the first 10 years of the new century? Before we gaze into the future, let's take a look at the present condition of our Methodist denomination. And then look at our Trinity congregation. All across America, there is a growing disinterest in what's happening in most of the mainline denominations. Young people, young adults, young families, midlifers, and seniors are not too concerned about the church beyond their local congregations. Many will or have changed their denominational commitment if the spiritual needs are not being met in that denomination or in that congregation. To that end, over 2 million members of the United Methodist Church have left the United Methodist Church in the last 20 years. Now I say have left. I don't mean to say that 2 million of our flock just got up and walked out. There are many circumstances that cause this loss in membership. Deaths, and moving to another denomination when they get married and that sort of thing. But it is 2 million members who have left this denomination and have not been replaced. But there is an interesting bright spot here to note. Trinity Church, this church, is the only church of 56 churches in the Youngstown District that has had a net gain in membership each year for the past 6 years. Now, I would venture to say that Trinity, this Trinity, our Trinity, God's Trinity, is probably one of the few churches in the East Ohio Conference to increase membership each year for the past 6 years. Now you can draw your own conclusions about that, but we'll talk about that a little later. So how should we as a congregation respond to this? Well, I think our voices should be heard loud and clear that we intend to strengthen the gospel message here in Trinity Church, our local church. By our actions and by our activity, we will demonstrate our willingness to work with our beloved pastor, Dr. Klein, to reach out into this congregation and to others with the gospel message right here, right now. As a strong metropolitan church, we want our presence to be felt and seen and heard in this area. Now, Dr. Klein presented his thoughts concerning this at our church conference last November. As our pastoral leader, he is hoping that in the year 2000, Trinity's congregation will decide to make the transition from certain committees to what he is calling ministry teams. And by doing this, we should see a dramatic increase in the hands-on ministry here at Trinity Church. In the weeks ahead, Dr. Klein will share with us his vision for a number of these ministry teams. And you're going to find there are numerous areas of interest here. We will be asked to review the various ministry teams and prayerfully consider the ones on which we wish to serve. Let me share some of his thoughts with you for ministry teams. First, there is the children's department. Now, I'm looking at a couple of young ladies down here in front. When they were born, we were using the nursery as a storeroom. And the mothers of not only these two, but others, said, we have to have a nursery here. And they went into that storeroom, in quotes, cleaned it out, and put fresh wallpaper on the wall, and put their babies in there. And now, today, there is a need for more people to volunteer to work in the nursery. That's the little people up to 24 months. That's great. The same thing is evident in the toddler room, 24 to 36 months. The total Sunday school program of this church, with the right encouragement happening at the right time, and it could happen, is poised for growth. There's another dream that Dr. Klein has, to continue the children's Sunday school program through the summer months and also have a vacation Bible school. Moving on to the youth, there is need for adult advisors, enablers, and helpers. He hopes to form a youth leader team. Now, I don't mean to say that there aren't people working with our youth, but there needs to be more people involved so that there's a continuing program going on. There's a confirmation team. Before these young people can join Trinity Church, they have to go through the confirmation process and studying with Dr. Klein what it means to be a United Methodist. The youth Sunday school program needs to be strengthened. And another thing that I look on with great enthusiasm is a youth prayer team. Young people praying for their peers, whether they belong to this church or elsewhere, a youth prayer team. Concerning the church family, He's planning an Advent celebration. And here's an interesting one, a college of Christian learning. I have no idea what he has in mind there. I didn't have a chance to talk to him about it. He's hoping for a physical fitness program, which would include volleyball and basketball. Enlarge the church picnic program and have family retreats where whole families can go together in a weekend or one-day retreat. Concerning the worship services, he's hoping to get an altar team be formed, and they would perform various services concerning how the altar is prepared for services, not only on Sunday morning, but else other times. We have communion stewards in place, but there's always need for a few more. We have ushers in place, but there again, if anyone wants to be an usher, there's room. Liturgists, the people you see up here with Dr. Klein, we have 15 of them serving us now, and we could use some more. Acolytes, you see these young ladies and other young gentlemen attending to the candles on the altar. These young people have wanted to do this, and there is room for more. We have greeters, they're in place already, but there's always room for more. Concerning the music program, you can see here that the chancel choir, when we're all here and not decimated with flu and bugs and all such sort of thing, we have 25 in the choir. Those are the people we can depend on to be here regularly. The choir grows a little time sometimes during our cantatas. But we have a scholarship program and you've heard some of these wonderful young people from the Dana School of Music singing. You heard them in our last cantata at Christmas time. Beautiful voices. We are fortunate to have those young people with us. There's hope that we can form a youth choir. And if we can't have a youth choir, if we don't have enough, we will encourage those young people who are in freshman through senior years in high school to come join the chancel choir. We can use young voices in this choir. There's a hope for special vocal music and special instrumental music, both in the services and elsewhere, recitals and so forth. Concerning faith development, he has something here he has put in quotes, contagious Christians. I suppose that is people with the Christian faith that rubs off on other people. Make it catching. A stewardship program. We are good stewards in this church. There is a prayer chain right now in place. Prayer vigils, healing services, Bible studies, and they're in place. We are unusual in this church. And I find this out both at the district and the conference level when I go to meetings and they look at the book, the little pamphlet that's handed out, of how many Bible studies we have here. And that we have over 100 people participating in this. They can't understand how that's done in a downtown metropolitan church. And I tell them, you don't understand the congregation at downtown Trinity United Methodist Church. We're not like your ordinary people, ordinary congregation. We're a family. There, as I said before, adult Sunday school classes, there could be room for more as our church grows. He's talking about small group leaders where there is Bible study in individual homes. Maybe only a half a dozen people meet once a week or once a month or something like that to study the Bible in small groups together. Here's one that I really intrigues me. Soul care team. That sounds interesting to me. And later on, as the year goes on, we're going to find what that is. And fishermen and women. Searching, spreading the gospel, and searching for those who are looking for a church home. In that relating to our community outreach, we're talking about a church connection team, a visitation on first-timers team, a hospital visiting team. This is all lay people we're talking about. The Habitat for Humanity needs some volunteers. Hospice. United Methodist Community Center is always looking for people to help there. He has here a mission work team. neighborhood Bible studies, I just mentioned that. An HIV AIDS support ministry team. A support service for the people, Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, the United Methodist Women, which we have in place here, and the work they do, sometimes we don't even know about. The same goes for the United Methodist Men, which is in place in this church. There needs to be support services for this church in general. There are things that are going on here that need lay support and help wherever needed in this church. Support services for the physical church here. When we have office, when we have mailings going out, there's need for to help people to process this and sort it and insert it in the envelopes, put the postage on it. There's need for office helpers in general, filing, copying, typing. He hopes to form a photography team, a communications team, and a babysitting team. In the administrative area, we have an administrative board that is in place. We have a finance committee that is in place and a nominating committee that is in place. We have a pastor-parish relations committee in place. And as evidenced by the pastor we have now, they have done a marvelous job. Our trustees in place. And these people, these nine people, have guided us through this capital funds campaign that we are coming to the end and done marvelous things in this church, preserved this place for ministry here in downtown Youngstown and throughout the community. And overall, a coordinating committee or team that would see that we don't duplicate efforts in the church. Well, that's quite a package, isn't it? But somewhere in there, I'm sure you could find, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. Remember, when we joined the United Methodist Church, we were asked, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? And what did you answer? I will. Now, let's consider for a few minutes just what that means. I will uphold the church with my prayers. From the very beginning, the earnest followers of Jesus Christ experienced and bore witness to the power of prayer. The disciples and others who were committed followers of Jesus continued in steadfast prayer and supplication. That was their lifestyle. Like all the saints before us, those who let the light and the love and the power of God radiate from them, we too must strive to continually acknowledge our dependence on God. We must always be mindful that this church, Trinity United Methodist Church, right here in downtown Youngstown, and we as the children of God, must bear witness to our relationship with God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, and in doing so become instruments of His peace and His power. Keep this in mind. A praying church is a strong church. And when we pray for ourselves and our families, when we pray for each other, when we pray for our pastor and his family, when we pray for all the work that is committed to our church, God's church, then and only then does Trinity become a vital and effective part of the total church of Christ. Upholding Trinity Church by our prayers is something that everyone can do. Now, I admit, there are certain circumstances that will prohibit some of our members from the total participation in all of our activities. But everyone, from the youngest little toddler to those who are senior in age, can uphold this dear church with their prayers. I will uphold the church with my presence. This vow calls for dedication of all three areas of our being, body, mind, and spirit. By being present at the services in God's church, we strengthen our own individual relationships with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us. By being present in this church, God's church, we extend this life-transforming influence into the lives of others who attend services here with us. I should mention here that there is an experience that we feel when this sanctuary is comfortably filled, which simply does not occur when it is only partially filled. There is a lift to the soul on the part of the congregation filling this church, and I might add, there is a lift to the soul of the choir and the pastor when that happens. It's a feeling that we do not experience in a half-filled sanctuary. Joining in the singing of hymns, listening to the scriptures being read, offering of unison and pastoral prayers. Something that you do not feel in a half-filled sanctuary or alone. In addition, it is a fact, a psychological fact, that a preacher preaches with more emphasis and gusto when the sanctuary is comfortably filled. I will uphold the church with my gifts. Having come through a 3-year capital funds campaign and having a sizable continuing budget raised every year by the congregation of this church, we can readily appreciate why we should nurture our lives through prayer and participation in the worship services and keep our ministry, as we have decided to do, right here in downtown Youngstown, vital and real. Now, we know that this takes our financial support and demands our particularly continuing attention to the financial matters of this church at all times. The Apostle Paul considered that effective, responsible stewardship is the individual and congregational way of acknowledging our partnership and indebtedness to God and His generous spiritual gift given us in Jesus Christ. When we acknowledge that God is the sovereign owner of all things, including our lives, when we give real evidence of our gratitude to God for His immeasurable gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, when we present an actual part of ourselves in the form of financial support for this church, both here and around the world, we are responding to God's love as we experience it from day to day. Then we are upholding this church by our financial giving. We are investing in the total ministry of His church. I repeat, it is not a gift, it is an investment in the total ministry of this church and the church around the world. I will uphold the church with my service. The most distinctive mark of the early followers of the Way, which would later become the Christian church, was their eagerness to be of Christ-like service to others. They had heard Jesus say, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. They had also heard him say, whosoever seeks to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, what does this mean? Well, we all have our individual crosses to bear in our daily lives. And when we dwell on them excessively, we become to a point of being paralyzed. But when our minds are focused on the workings of this church or any other church, our crosses seem easier to bear. Paul said it well in his letter to the Corinthian church. He wrote, "There are different ways of serving, but it is the same Lord who is being served." There are different abilities, get that word, abilities to perform service, but it is the same God who imparts those abilities to us. God gave us these abilities, our talents, and we shouldn't waste them. And then Paul goes on to list some of the needs of the church. And a few minutes ago, you heard me go down Dr. Klein's what we he calls his vision list. There are numerous ways to serve Trinity on that list. We will uphold the church by our service. When we do that, we are upholding our very Lord, who said, "Inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." And God is asking us today, as he did in the days of the prophet Isaiah, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And he expects us to respond, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Dr. Klein wrote this particular message in his pastoral report at our charge conference last November. Commenting on his vision for Trinity in the year 2000 and beyond, he wrote, "Our goal and ministry is to study, to share, and to serve. Our role as a congregation can be summed up in the words of St. Paul. Each one of us has his or her own special gift given from God, one of one kind, one of another. Our concern is for our people within the walls of Trinity Church, as well as those outside her walls," unquote. In our service to all of God's children, whom God dearly loves, we find ourselves in the mission of our church. The church is most assuredly the means of God's salvation to the world, and we are his instruments of service. Just as we are, warts and all, with our own special talents, great and small, it is a cause and a purpose for which we must organize now and the years to come in the 21st century. Let us bow our hearts in thoughtful prayer. Father, as we approach this new year 2000 and the years that come after, grant that by all of us praying together, giving together, serving together, we will build your church, this church, to your service. Grant that by using the gifts and the graces you have given each one of us, we will truly be a church filled with your holy spiritual power, able to minister to ourselves and to others in so many ways. In Jesus' holy name, we thankfully pray. Amen.